We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. My name is Steven and I am the host as always, and joining me is my guy Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing today?
Doing very well, although as the chat pointed out, the Angels dropped a game today, I believe. I know Mike Trout started off with a home run in the first inning at the first at-bat, and then I believe they lost in the end. But if there's an update, let me know.
So that is the basically every Angels game I ever hear about, except
minus,
obviously Shohei Ohtani, but... Yeah. Every time I hear an Angels update, it's like, oh, Mike Trout, previously Shohei Ohtani did these amazing things, but the Angels lost.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been that way since I decided to become a conscious Angels fan. So basically, they won their World Series. Then I started to follow the team. They have not won since. So you know what? At least I've got the Lakers from the bubble championship.
Well, I mean, the Lakers won championships in the early 2000s, too.
Yes. Sorry. Most recently, the Lakers. Gotcha. Lakers won plenty. Don't get me wrong. Lakers won plenty with Kobe.
Yeah.
But recently, Angels, gotcha. Chargers, Lakers. So at least have that Lakers one, which, of course, is the thing I follow the least.
Yeah, for sure. I am not a baseball fan. I will never be a baseball fan, but hopefully all of you guys and your teams do well. Go baseball, I guess.
Go baseball. Touchdown. Field goal.
Yeah, not a big baseball guy. But anyways, we got a good show planned for you guys today. We wanted to do an episode, themed towards the Harbaugh guys. So we do an episode, and we will do this episode later, of our version of like the other guys who we think are not getting enough hype. We wanted to try and spin that towards players in this upcoming draft class that we feel like are the glass eaters, the football freaks of this draft class, that just kind of embody the Jim Harbaugh aura, if you will, or the Jim Harbaugh mannerisms, if you will. So this is an ode to Coach Harbaugh, guys that we think are kind of, you know, the football guys of all football guys. So it should be a lot of fun. I think inadvertently we both wrote down non-first round players. I don't think that was the intention initially, but it's just kind of like where my brain went through. Some of these guys could maybe work their way into the first round, but Tyler, when you were kind of approaching this list, like how did you decide like which positions to prioritize, which like traits to prioritize? What was kind of your process in forming your five?
I was really looking for underdogs. I think some guys that maybe aren't as, you know, prioritized, let's say even in this draft class. Of course there are names like JC Latham, Harbaugh guy for sure. But a lot of the guys in the first round are they're everyone's guys, you know.
Five-star prospects for everybody.
Exactly. Whereas like Michigan, we've talked about before, did not have a lot of five-star prospects. They're not an untalented team, or they weren't untalented. But it wasn't like the Georgia number one recruiting class, Alabama's second ranked recruiting class, et cetera. You know, they were like mid-teens. So just that underdog mentality, that lunch pail mentality. A lot of the guys, especially on defense, like they either hit hard or play hard or run hard. They have a high motor, that sort of thing. So sure, again, that trait can carry on to a lot of guys. But, you know, the first thing we heard from Jim Harbaugh was how he was getting into the weight room with a shop vac. He went to Home Depot, got a shop vac, and was vacuuming up the place. And the locker room obviously looks great. They just showed the new way they have things laid out. But just guys like that, where like football is their thing. It's almost like it's their only thing. They live or die with it. And then some of it was also just like how they would play defense, how he wants to play offense, that sort of thing. So a lot of different things in there, but it's really just a high character, gritty, nasty, and a kind of underdog kind of player.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. I think obviously like we could make a whole thing about Michigan guys and like what makes the Michigan guys like Harbaugh guys. But I think the most recent example of this, I think, and we're not really going to talk about him on this show, but that's wide receiver Roman Wilson and like his mentality as a football player and like his background story. For those who don't know, he lived in Hawaii and went to high school in California. Let me say that again. He lived in Hawaii, but played football in California. So this is a guy who would fly to California, do high school, fly back to Hawaii to like live with his family for the weekends. And then like just do that flight every single day, which is wow, crazy to me, you know, but he loved football and he knew that California was going to be like the better place for him to, you know, pursue his future career. And then also like you look at who he is as a wide receiver. He wasn't like a five-star recruit, but he would go after Marvin Harrison Jr. on the opposite sideline and talk trash, talk shit to, you know, the higher recruited best prospect ever at his position kind of player, because that's just who he is. So I think that and who Roman Wilson is, I think is probably like what I would say is like the embodiment of a Harbaugh guy. So he could be on this list, but
yeah,
went in other directions. Cause that's kind of repetitive. Like Harbaugh recruited.
Yes.
He's a Harbaugh guy.
Yeah, I try to avoid that too. We have one Michigan guy on here because I felt like it was necessary and it does fit. But yes, you could include all these Michigan guys on here for sure. I also kind of, and you'll talk about one defensive player in particular, kind of prioritized maybe more power over finesse. Not mm-hmm. guys that are maybe as like, I don't know, flashy is always a good thing, but like they're not flashy. They're maybe twitchy as much as they are just pure like power, brute force kind of guys.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think that's a good qualifier. So you guys in the chat here live, let us know who your choice would be. If you had to pick one player to be a Harbaugh guy, let us know who you would choose. And then we'll go over our list. Real quickly, Tyler, if you had to choose one first round guy to be on this list, who would you have chosen?
I mentioned J.C. Latham, and that makes a ton of sense. You want to run the football. You want to be strong as shit, kind of nasty. Like that's J.C. Latham. I will go with Jared Verse, but I felt like it's just a nasty terror along the defensive line, motor cranked up to 100. It really feels like watching him is like if Jermaine Johnson were maybe a bit better. And I loved Jermaine Johnson quite a bit, but Verse, you know, there are games. I just watched Austin Booker, the edge rusher from Kansas, and there's like one play where he knocks an offensive tackle on his butt and gets the quarterback. You're like, yeah, that's awesome. Jared Verse is it like twice a game. Just knocking dudes all over the place. So he's just a complete force and freak of nature. If the Chargers needed an edge rusher, would love to take him. They don't. But yeah, Jared Verse to me kind of comes to mind. And then Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, Arnold was definitely one. Jackson Powers Johnson, as Damage points out, I think that's an easy one, just like given his ferocious mentality. But I think my brain went to the offensive line, and I think Troy Fautanu in particular, just his overall play style, like he wants to bury everybody on every single play. And there's nobody better in this class of the offensive tackles at the snatch trap method where you knock the hands down and essentially you get the guy in the dirt right away. So he's also a guy who is underrated. He's been, you know, doubted his entire life of can he play tackle? Is he a guard? I think he was a three-star recruit. So that kind of fits the mentality as well of kind of a lunch pail guy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Chargers, if they trade down in a certain world, you know, Fautanu could be their guy. So you look at just like his overall mentality, his approach to the game. I think he would check a lot of boxes as well along the offensive line. From like a physical prototype, like J.C. Latham is the quintessential Harbaugh offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Just given his build and his attributes and strengths. But Fautanu, from a play style perspective, from a mentality perspective, I think he would check that box too.
Fascinated to see who actually is the Harbaugh guy in the first round coming up.
Yeah, 100%. Lots of interesting scenarios. We got a lot of positive feedback from our mock draft scenario, some mock draft series. So I'm excited about that. We'll cover some other scenarios. I've been messing with a particular trade down scenario that's not really being discussed that I think should be a lot of fun that we'll cover at some point down the road.
Ooh, I'm excited. Don't even tell me until we get there. I'm gonna find out live on live stream.
All right, sounds good.
Cool.
Okay, let's. We do have a slideshow for this episode. The Harbaugh guys, footballers with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Excuse me, I'll get that phrase right eventually. So this is gonna be a fun one. We're gonna have discussions here about 10 different players with some honorable mentions. We each chose 5. So I think you guys will enjoy this discussion. I'm seeing some good names in the chat as well, so keep those coming. But Tyler, let's dive into the first one here.
Let's do it.
All right, this is my admission. Of course, I tried to get in a cornerback because it is a position of need. But when I picture a Harbaugh corner, I want somebody that is going to be physical at the line of scrimmage, somebody that's going to be physical at the catch point, and somebody that is going to play run defense. You have to have all three, I think, in order for me to qualify you as a corner that is a Harbaugh guy. And, you know, the coverage is not perfect. I understand that. You know, a lot of people have him kind of pegged as a third round pick, but getting him into this kind of situation where Jesse Minter and Jim Harbaugh could take advantage of his mentality, of his approach, I think this is the physical corner that you want. I hear a lot of like TJ Tampa's a physical corner. I hear Renardo Green's a physical corner. And not to say that they completely are not. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about physicality at the line of scrimmage, at the catch point, can play run defense, can tackle in space, this is Cam Hart. And oh, by the way, he has an elite RAS score of 9.82, consensus board of 88. You know the kind of psycho you're getting with a cornerback that's going to talk all this shit. I think Cam Hart is definitely that. So if you're betting on a cornerback, Cam Hart is my choice. I think he's being wildly underrated right now. 88th on the consensus board is kind of ridiculous to me. All these guys who are the bigger physical press corners, they're all running like low 4.5s, 4.6s. Cam Hart ran a 4.4. Like, this is a guy I think you really want to bet on. And just mentality-wise, Cam Hart, to me, embodies a prototypical Harbaugh cornerback.
I just figured out why you have him graded higher than most. It's because he smacked the shit out of USC a couple of times in that game. I finally figured out what it was. No, I'm kidding. That is partially why I also have him graded high as well. I think 88th is far too late. Frankly, I feel there's a cluster of corners that shouldn't be in the 90s to 100s. Why, yeah. Guys like him, Kyrie Jackson, etc., are considered like maybe a round three pick. Is ridiculous to me, but Cam Hart is awesome. I asked Steven right after the stream when we decided to do Harbaugh guys, I'm like, are you picking Cam Hart? And he said yes. It was the first name that came to mind for me as well, but I know Steven likes him more, so Cam Hart here is perfect and should be talked about a lot more.
Yeah, I think he checks a lot of boxes for what we'd be looking for. And I like, if you like miss out on Terrion Arnold, I think Cam Hart's a pretty good consolation prize.
Oh, absolutely. For me, this is a new watch for me. Nelson Caesar, the edge rusher out of Houston. No one's really talking about him. Didn't even know he really existed before the draft. Frankly, I didn't know that I was watching Luke McCaffrey when he was playing Rice, when Nelson Caesar was playing Rice. I was like, oh, who's this number 10? Oh, it's, yeah, Luke McCaffrey. Oops. That shows you how much college football I watch during the actual college football season. But Nelson Caesar, to me, is just a relentless force that I've... This is a big difference, but if you can't get Jared Verse at 5, the idea that you can get someone like Nelson Caesar, who was very productive in 2023, all the way back at like 150, you're talking about like your 4th round pick here, maybe your 5th round pick, you're doing great. I watch him do a variety of things. He's someone that they have stand up. Okay, so I'm going to say something that sounds blasphemous, but if you watched Chris Rumpf at Duke, they kind of have a similar-ish role, sort of a Nick Bonito role as well. But kind of like Chris Rumpf was at Duke. With that said, Nelson Caesar is better, I think. The difference between them on the consensus board probably isn't that much, but I think Nelson Caesar, his ability to rush over the A-gap, to loop, to rush from the edge, to bend, to use power, play the run, chase down backside runs, high motor, like, he embodies such a Harbaugh guy for me because he's just all in all the time, chasing guys down the field, really loved watching Nelson Caesar and do not at all get him at 150 here.
Yeah, I respect the not going to the highest possible scenario there of that kind of player, which is obviously being Micah Parsons. But you set the low bar instead when they
raise the
expectations, you know, then it works out good.
Yeah, exactly.
I have not watched Nelson Caesar, but I watched the clips that you shared, and you know, I think it's a fantastic potential prospect to bet on, and I think the variety of roles, I think, is also a Harbaugh trade, because I think like you've got to be able to fill in different spots, whether that is at receiver, corner, defensive line. I think that does something that plays into the Harbaugh guy aspect as well. Somebody that can just fill in wherever is needed, I think, is important. I think Nelson Caesar can do that for you.
Yeah, a lot of pressure from a lot of different spots. The Chargers, I've now jumped to just like finding the day three guys. Given who they have with their edge rusher group, I think they'll take one in day three. And Caesar's like, I watched him like, okay, I'm all in if that's what Minter wants to do.
Yeah. Quick super chat here. I wanted to address Gabriel Caldera. He says he enjoys listening to our podcast. Thank you, Gabriel, as well for the super chat. Marshawn Nealand is his guy. I saw that you responded to him. You haven't watched him. I have not watched him either, but I know the bootleg guys love Marshawn Nealand. So I know that there's a good amount of fans out there. So I'm curious to get there. And I think that's a good shout out from Gabriel.
Yeah, he's flying up at least Pro Football Focus's board, because I went to go do a mock recently and suddenly he was way up there. I forget where it was, but he's flying up for some reason. Maybe it is the bootleg guys. I don't know. But yeah, excited to watch him.
Yeah. All right. My next one here is Jalen Polk. I tweeted about this earlier. I've watched Washington games so many times in passing because there's so many guys that they play or that they have that are, you know, draft prospects and that they play against that are draft prospects. So I think I've watched Washington on tape probably like 70 times so far this year. There's just so many guys, in particular, like the Washington Oregon game and the Washington Michigan tape. I've watched a ton. Every time I turn on the Washington tape, Jalen Polk just continues to pop. And I think his diversity of role is definitely what plays into here, the physicality. And similar to Cam Hart, where I think Harbaugh, his type at receiver, if you think about like who he's had around, we mentioned Roman Wilson, obviously, but Anquan Boldin, I think, is like the stereotype of wide receivers that I think Harbaugh kind of is drawn to. Michael Crabtree as well, I think, could apply. Obviously, those were 49ers guys. But you're talking about a guy who it can be physical and beat press coverage, can be a contested catch guy and be physical at the top of the catch point. Somebody that can block really, really well, and then somebody that can play all three roles. Like, I think that is important. I think that's why I believe in Josh Palmer's potential in this offense, is because he can do all those things too. And I think Jalen Polk is essentially like a better version of Josh Palmer in that regard. He runs routes extremely well. He's very efficient with his movements. He's stepped into various roles at Washington. Last year in 2022, he was the wide receiver three because they also have this guy named Jalen McMillan, who's also really freaking good. This year, McMillan was hurt, so Polk was wide receiver two. Then there were other games where Romo Odunze is getting double teamed, not able to be consistently targeted as much. And Jalen Polk essentially assumes that wide receiver one role. So I love the toughness that he plays with. I love the versatility that he plays with. I just elevated him ahead of A.D. Mitchell on my overall board, so he is wide receiver five. For me, he does have a first-round grade, but he's not being talked about as a first-round prospect at this point in time. But I just think he would be the perfect Harbaugh wide receiver, the physicality, the toughness, the versatility. He just checks all those boxes, and then it all, like, his RAS score is good. It's not great, but I think it's better than people will give him credit for.
Yeah, I believe, well, Kyrie Jackson right here on the screen, his RAS is better, and that wasn't a problem for Polk on that one play. Yep. And watching Kyrie Jackson, the corner from Oregon, plenty of times, you target him downfield, and he's going to break it up. He's going to squeeze to the sideline, whatever. That rep that Polk had for the touchdown against Oregon, against Jackson, I just think is really, really a special one. Plenty of really good reps, but that one, just to beat him over the top, to get past someone that tall, that fast, that long, still get on top of him for a touchdown and get past him like this, is tremendous. So yeah, Polk, I think, is very underrated. I don't know if he'll B5 or 6 for me. He's comfortably going to be in the top 7 for me at wide receiver. No question about that. Yeah, I do think he's underrated for sure. You know, people are going for maybe like a smaller, more speedster kind of type, I guess. But I really like watching Polk. So that's a really good call there. That totally fits the Harbaugh guys. And yeah, this Washington offense, we watched it way too many times at this point. Same with Michigan's defense. Like, I watched way too much of that. So between these two,
yeah,
great tape. Polk is definitely awesome. For me, another guy that I fell in love with during this process, Logan Lee, the defensive tackle out of Iowa.
Nice.
To me, it feels like if Braden Fisk is, you know, you don't get him, but now is the second round, it seems like, is where Fisk is going. Logan Lee is way further down, 219th on the consensus board, and I think it's ridiculous. I don't see a huge difference between those two, but they do kind of remind me of each other. They're not huge guys. They're not Tavondre Sweat. They don't have 35-inch arms. They're not 320 pounds, and Logan Lee is smaller than Braden Fisk in terms of size, in terms of weight, but he plays fantastic, and I really don't think there's anyone outside of the first round in this class at D tackle that plays the wrists and the hands as well as Logan Lee. That was consistent. It was a forklift nonstop. The way he plays the wrists and hands is fantastic. Like, just making the most out of what he's given. And of course, the motor is there. The burst is there. Again, very much so felt like Braden Fisk. This guy is 220th on the consensus board. Fisk is someone top 50, top 60. And while I do believe there is a difference, I don't see a huge significant one. I love this photo. I don't know how that happened. I'm trying to figure out how the physics of this worked out.
Yeah,
but yeah, Logan Lee was awesome. Maybe he doesn't fit a Minter prototype. Obviously, he's not your space eater like nose tackle by any means, but the character and the way he plays definitely fits for me. And he got Jim Harbaugh some up close. 3 pressures, 1 sack, and 2 stops versus Michigan. Had a very solid game against Michigan and a very good offensive line. So I think he's at least on Jim Harbaugh's radar, considering he saw him right there.
Yeah, and I think he's also played some edge rusher for Iowa as well. So he's been able to play different roles. I think he started his career out as a tight end, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a guy who has shown that he's willing to do what is required of the team. And he's been able to put on weight and play defensive tackle, went down to the Shrine Bowl, had a great week at the Shrine Bowl, reportedly. Obviously, I wasn't there, but the clips that I saw, the tweets that I saw, was a guy that he definitely had a standout week that down in Frisco. So I think that's a good one. I think defensive tackle, as we talked about, is a really underrated need. And I think they're going to be comfortable with like Otito and Puna doing like the rundown stuff. So they do need more pass rush. It can't just be Morgan Fox all by himself. So I'm not opposed to taking a flyer on Logan Lee by any means.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, Darius Robinson was a guy, again, this is potentially a borderline first-round pick, although his testing was good. It wasn't great, so that kind of moved people down a little bit. His consensus board is 31st. But this, to me, is the most physically impressive edge rusher in this class. And I think you mentioned Jared Verse earlier. This is a guy who just is incredibly powerful. And I think part of like the Harbaugh experience, I would say too, is like putting out your best performances against the best competition. And if you watch Darius Robinson against Georgia, he ate those boys alive. He was so dominant in that game against the run, against the pass, and he wins in a variety of ways. Like, his go-to is power, but his ability to toss offensive linemen to the side, I think, is incredibly impressive. This is a guy who's probably more of like a five tech, like a four tech in this game, in this specific scheme. I think you can kick him inside from time to time, because he's like pushing 290. He is a physical player. And I think just the lunch pail mentality, he played defensive interior defensive line in a 3-3-5 scheme for Missouri. They switched to a 3-4. He played outside linebacker. So this is a guy who just has dominated his best competition. He's checked every box. He went down to the Senior Bowl and was able to really have a fantastic week at the Senior Bowl. So I love watching Darius Robinson on tape. He checks a ton of boxes from a testing perspective, from a size perspective. And I am just, Thomas almost got me with that comment, man.
Me too. Me too. I'm like, no, start the channel over.
Yeah. I was like, no. Okay. Well, redo it. This is the comment from Thomas Martinez for our audio ends. He says, Darius Robinson has multiple felony warrants out for assault on Georgia tight ends. Almost got me there.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, well, never mind. But no, that's very accurate. He wrecked Georgia in that game, and he had some other great performances throughout the season. So physical player.
Yeah, he is. Someone I instantly thought of as well. You had watched him first. You told me to watch him. It took me a while, but I think a few days ago I finally did. And that Georgia game, and many of these games, I remember the last time I saw a pulling like tight end or a guard or whatever, like look afraid to go take on Darius Robinson.
Yeah.
There were so many plays, like they'd run up and you can see them kind of just be like, oh God. And then Robinson would just de-cleat them. I mean, this dude is just all power. Not like a well-rounded player, but the power is so enticing. What he's able to do play after play after play is awesome. So yeah, like we sort of discussed, like for this exercise, I felt more power over finesse, and Darius Robinson totally fits like it. Of the edge rushers I've watched in the second, third rounds, like he's definitely one of these guys for sure. Was a ton of fun watching him.
Yeah, the power profile going from Khalil Mack to Darius Robinson would be really, really cool. Chargers don't need an edge rusher, obviously, but there's a lot of similarities in their games, I think. Not saying that he's going to turn out to be Khalil Mack, who's been one of the best players of our generation. But just from like a consistent power, consistent physicality, I think there's a lot to like there.
Absolutely. Okay, so had to finally get a Harbaugh official guy in there, a Michigan guy in there. And I'm going with Mike Sander, still the corner from Michigan. I believe Arjun's in the chat. I'm sure Arjun has plenty of things to say about Mike Sander still. Everyone loves him. Every Chargers fan is basically mocking him to the Chargers in the second round. I believe he had a visit with the team as well. Sander still is fantastic. We've all watched the play against Ohio State, where he decleats, I believe, the running back. We've watched that 47 times. And every time I watch it, I love it. Like, but he does that so consistently. It's not like a guy who's got the one big hit and that's it. Like, he is a consistent enforcer. Passes broken up, interceptions, you name it. He's all over the field. Fantastic fit, obviously, for this defense. And, of course, total Harbaugh guy.
Yeah, and talk about somebody who's done multiple roles. He started his career at Michigan as a wide receiver. Also has done punt return stuff. I think he checks a ton of boxes for that kind of just mentality. From everything that I want to say it was Joel Klatt heard throughout the season, Mike Sander still was the vocal leader of the Michigan defense. Mm. And this is a defense that has like 12 guys who are going to be drafted. So Mike Sander still being the alpha mentality, despite being the, you know, formerly under-recruited wide receiver, probably the smallest player on their team, that alpha mentality, I think, also plays very well on the Harbaugh-isms, if you will.
Yeah, watching some of these prospects, whether it's like a DN who became a tackle or a safety who became a linebacker or whatever, you can tell sometimes that they are a former whatever they were that was not their thing. Sanders still being a corner, having been recruited as a wide receiver, is so impressive because I genuinely could not tell, not that he's perfect, that this was a guy that was going to be a receiver.
Yeah, usually the wide receiver to corner converts are a little bit more finessy, a little bit afraid of contact. That's not Sanders, man. Like he will play the run. He will blitz. Like a lot of people have thrown the Mike Hilton comp out for Mike Sanders still, and I think that's a fantastic comp because he's so good as a blitzer, so good as a tackler. And then you watch him cover. Like I mentioned Jalen Polk earlier. Mike Sanders still kind of locked him up a little bit. So I like Jalen Polk quite a bit. Sanders had a great game against Washington. He had a great game against everybody, really. So you're responding to this in the chat here, but Sanders at 37, you're cool with that then?
Ooh, okay. So the question was, am I going Lassiter or Sanders still at 37? And so my tie was broken going to familiarity. Like one guy actually did play the slot in your defense and you know him. So that tie would go there. At 37, I would get it, but I'd have to see the whole board. Like, I think he is worthy of a second round selection. That is not out of the question for me, but I'd have to see who else is there as well, because I think there are other players I'd like, but I would be okay with it in a vacuum.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I think he's an easy player to like for sure.
Oh yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, But Greg doesn't have the athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, before we get back to this, we do have got to pay the bills on the channel. So, Tyler, why don't you tell our listeners about Prize Picks?
Sure. Prize Picks, been using them for a while now. It's a skill-based, real-money, daily fantasy sports game. Pick 2 to 6 different players, and if they'll go more or less than their Prize Picks projections. And you can do just about anything. Sure, you can do NFL projections for the 2024 season. There's League of Legends. Shout out to my former roommate, James, if you're out there. NBA, March Madness, you name it, cricket, whatever you can think of, it's on Prize Picks, and it's a ton of fun. So to make your selections, go to prizepicks.com/guilty. Use the code guilty at checkout for $100 off your first deposit. For a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/guilty and use the code guilty.
There you go. I never would have guessed that they would have esports on there. So shout out to Prize Picks, you know, changing the game out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our next one here, courtesy of the Unified Healing EE system. This is a brand new campaign for us, and whether you are a world-class athlete, podcaster, gamer, school teacher, school counselor, whatever the case may be, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why we are excited here at the Guilty as Charged podcast that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of our show. Now, the EE system of Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE system. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. The technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Excuse me. Whether you're here in Fresno or Orange County or wherever the case may be, there are hundreds of other locations across the globe. Access to a center is easy and affordable. If you are interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, we'd highly encourage you to go to unifiedhealing.com/guilty to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that is unifiedhealing.com/guilty for the nearest location to you. So again, I'm huge on mental health. I am a school counselor after all. Talk to my students all day, every day about mental health, and Unified Healing has you guys covered. So please go check them out.
Yep. As Kevin says, a little bit of rejuvenation, whatever you need, you're going to get it. Speaking of things that heal the soul, Utah football.
Yes. My guy, Cole Bishop. This is, I try to keep it down. I swear I do. Well, pause.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye. Oh my gosh. Anyways, I tried to not talk about Utah because I know people are sick of it, but Cole Bishop, I do truly believe, is a Harbaugh guy of all guys. The Chargers don't necessarily need a safety, and I don't think that they would be able to take him where he is going to go. The consensus board, him being 89th, like he's like safety 6 or 7, I think is ridiculous. The testing is top-notch. The film is top-notch. This is a guy that loves contact. Like He almost to a detriment, he will not play the football. He plays the body. He tries to hit you as much as he possibly can. He is going to play run defense. He's going to blitz. He's going to hit you in space. This is a guy that seeks out content left and right. He is from the state of Alabama. He was a 3-star recruit. This is a Utah special, and Utah and Michigan have a lot of like similarities in that regard. You go find a legitimate top-tier player that's a 3-star recruit, turn him into one of the best players at his position in the entire country. That's Cole Bishop. I think he, part of the reason why he is being a little underrated is because Utah had to have him play a little bit more free safety this year due to their positional, just kind of the position room in 2022. They had like a bona fide free safety, and then Sione Vaki was playing in the slot, which allowed Cole Bishop to play in the box primarily, and that was his role. This year, he got to do it from time to time. Him and Sione Vaki would kind of rotate. But he's a guy best suited in the box. He's a guy that's best suited to cover tight ends, be physical. He played free safety pretty well. I'm not saying that he played it poorly. Obviously, he's still going to get drafted. But this is a guy that I think just checks a ton of boxes for what Jim Harbaugh, Jesse Minter would want. And then, oh, by the way, he has a 9.87 RAS score. the most athletic safety in the class, according to RAS at this point in time. So this is a guy I would love to see on the Chargers. I just don't know if they'd be able to take a safety in this class.
Yeah, I think as Jay Dong points out, Cole Bishop's a beast, and they could use the safeties. Minter could use three safeties a lot, and I totally agree. Obviously, if they take a safety, if they take Cole Bishop, it's over on the JT Woods experiment. 100%. But I think that they should be looking for that next guy. Probably will be a day three, later day three kind of guy. Ryan Ficklin will turn him to a Pro Bowler or something, and then he'll take over for whoever in a few years. But yeah, no, Cole Bishop, have not watched him. This is the only player that we're going to mention today that I have not watched, but I'm excited to. With that said, like, there's nothing I could say in a breakdown of Cole Bishop that Steven couldn't tell you. Yeah. So I'm just going to let Steven scout the Utah guys and just take his word for it for now.
Yeah. If you are able to, just really quickly, watch the Florida game, watch the Baylor game. He got injured a little bit after that, but those two games, he's just around the football a lot. He had two forced fumbles in that game, interception against Baylor. Love Cole Bishop.
Yeah. I did not watch Utah's defense yet, but I've watched USC games, and I've watched a lot of some Pac-12 games, and yeah, like Cole Bishop, there's always something Cole Bishop does something cool. I know that because when Utah's playing football, Steven's like,
Bishop is probably 50% of my tweets about Utah games. For
yes,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that and like maybe Utah's women's basketball team, and that's about it. Like, anyway, moving on to the next guy, Benson at the tight end from Kansas State. We've discussed other tight ends so far throughout this mock draft process. I don't believe we've taken Benson at last time we took McLaughlin from Arizona.
Yeah,
but to me, sometimes if you're looking for like the pure tight end inline guy, that's not necessarily Sinnott. And I think people are taking him, assuming that's the case. But to me, it's the way he blocks all around as an H-back from the backfield, et cetera. The way that Kansas State creatively used him, I just think it kind of fits perfectly. It's kind of run game adjacent, but also he can play the tight end stuff. I could see both Hortiz and Harbaugh being in on Ben Sinnott, especially given the fact that he's 104th on the consensus board. I think he was like 140. On PFF's board. So this is a guy that I think he's being underrated, but also like I get that he's like this tight end class isn't great. He's not like a pure awesome receiving tight end,
right?
Like Brock Bowers, for example, but I think he's very underrated, does the dirty work. Really do like Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, as Kevin Koenig pointed out in the chat, he played all over the place for Kansas State. He played some fullback, played some H-back. This is a guy who can do a lot of different things for you, just from a pure blocking standpoint. Oh, I've got the all-star filter on. Duh. Okay. Wanted to make sure I get this right. So he's got a ton of inline tight end snaps from a blocker standpoint. He's got slot snaps. He's got running back snaps. So this is a guy who I think just he loves to block. Like I think he's a pretty good pass catcher, but this is a guy who just plays to the whistle as a blocking tight end. Like he does have that kind of George Kittle mentality where he just wants to block. Like I think George Kittle, I obviously he loves the money that comes with being a great pass catcher, but I think George Kittle likes to block more than he likes to catch passes. And I think Benson is the same way there.
Yeah. He at least did in the Super Bowl.
Fair. Super chat real quick from, AC Uenko. I appreciate the super chat. I'm not sure how you want us to say that name, but been watching you guys for almost 2 years now. I haven't been able to catch you live to tip. Love the content. You guys are my favorite Chargers content creators. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for the support.
Thank you very much. A lot of love the last couple of days. Our last Chargers episode was like so much love, like overwhelmingly so. It feels like we like set you guys onto that video to write those comments, but we didn't. Like it was just you guys showed up and said nice things. And I really appreciate that. A couple of people saying that like 4 p.m. is they've never been able to watch us live before. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to bounce around 4 p.m. start times every once in a while.
Hey, man, I had to drive like 60 miles per hour on the way home. So I don't know if I want to do that.
Rookie numbers is all I'm saying.
Rookie numbers for sure.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to the next one here. I talked about Hunter Norzad last time. It was difficult for me not to talk about him. Like I thought about doing like Bo Limmer. I watched Bo Limmer play guard a couple last night. I went back and watched some of his guard tape against Alabama. You know, there are some other interior offensive linemen prospects. I watched Cooper Beebe this week from Kansas State. I think he also applies. But it's the versatility for Hunter Norzad. I think, you know, he's a guy who can play guard or center. He definitely has the body type. He has the experience. He started for Penn State at left guard last year, center this year. He's an Ivy League guy, so it's not like he comes from like a five-star background. He had to work his way to Penn State. The athletic testing, we don't have anything yet. I don't know if that was due to an injury or if that was just due to him not choosing to test. But, you know, I think he's athletic enough, but you're not taking Hunter Norzad because he's an elite athlete. You're taking Hunter Norzad because he's going to put you in the dirt and he's going to be physical. He's going to play to the whistle and he can play multiple roles for you. He's smart. He's tough. He's physical. When I picture like a glass eater of offensive linemen, like Hunter Norzad is what I look at. Like he's a guy who just has that every single snap. He wants to punish you. And so Norzad is my guy. He's my favorite day two center. I think he's a day two center prospect all day of the week.
Ooh, I like that. So is that favorite day two center including Frazier or assuming that he's gone?
Favorite over Frazier. I like Frazier more as a prospect. I think he's more athletic. I think he has a little bit more upside. Not a little bit more. Frazier's a better prospect for sure. Mm-hmm. But I like watching Hunter Norzad more.
Okay. I totally get that. There are players that are on day three latest crud that I love watching more. I'm more excited to watch than some of the guys that are just better prospects. So I get that. Yeah, Norzad, great call. I put off watching him, finally watched him a couple days ago as we talked about. And it's like, oh yeah, that's perfect. Like that's how it should look. And I don't know why he's not being talked about more on our board for our last mock. He was 200th, I believe, 176 on the consensus board. And I just don't get it. Is he perfect? No. Things to work on? Absolutely. It would be like the perfect spot. Just the idea that he can sit for a year or do whatever he has to do, work with Greg Roman, work with his offensive line, Herbert, Harbaugh, etc. Like this, it really does feel like your center of the future. And I would not be surprised if he's one of their picks. We'll see about day two. We'll see how much the NFL actually likes him. But yeah, great prospect. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, day two for me. I understand that most people have him day three, though.
Yeah. It feels like 3-4 for me. I think that's kind of where I would assume he would go. Okay. Maybe like as a comp pick sort of guy, but we'll see. Okay, Isaiah Davis, last one from me here. Isaiah Davis, the running back from South Dakota State, great RAS. Again, way back on the consensus board, but this is a guy who is hyper productive, as most of these guys are. Like you look at South Dakota State's guys or North Dakota State or whatever, these guys are very productive. So, okay, so how's the film? How are their per play numbers? They're great. He is number one in this class in terms of college career yards after contact per attempt. The number and the percentile, I think he's like 96th in yards after contact per attempt percentile and 97th in explosive rate, run rate percentile. But this is a guy who you can just, he's a big dude. You can run it with him. You can run it 20 times, 25 times, 30. Like if you want to find a bell cow, he at least has the body type to do that. I really do like Isaiah Davis here. I think he fits the Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh run game kind of style. I don't know if that he will fit Gus Edwards in terms of a compliment, but as someone who can be, well, the next guy, I think Isaiah Davis is someone I would definitely look at because the size profile is there. The numbers are great. The per play stats are great. I really do like him.
Yeah, I think if you miss out on like an Audric Estime, then Isaiah Davis is kind of like your day three version of that. Thomas Martinez here in the chat and I were messaging back and forth about Mason McCormick the other day. So there's no like we use Caddy's cutups for a film. That's kind of our biggest resource. And you guys can do that too. They're on Patreon. You know, there's no South Dakota State offensive line tape on there, but there is Isaiah Davis tape on there. So it's like you work with what you got. So we were messaging back and forth about Mason McCormick, the guard, potential center. But Isaiah Davis, man, like just his ferocious mentality. Like I think if you picture like a bigger version of Isaiah Pacheco, just that guy that always looks like he's angry. That's what Isaiah Davis reminds me of. He just always wants to make sure he's going to punish you. He always wants to score on every touch. So this is a guy who I think just, you know, he wants to be so successful. I think that shows up on tape. And I think his mentality, he's always fighting for those extra yards. He's always trying to make sure every single play finishes to the end. So there's a lot to like there for Isaiah Davis for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. Kevin asked, does he have typewriter feet like Pacheco?
No.
No.
Isaiah Pacheco's feet are definitely different. It's a very unique skill set of his. But like every time Isaiah Pacheco touches the ball, you're like, you're just an angry individual, right? And you just have to be. And Isaiah Davis is the same way.
Yeah, I would agree. A couple of honorable mentions here. Frankly, I had like 30 honorable mentions we could have listed.
So many.
Audric Estime, the running back from Notre Dame. Braden Fisk, as we talked about, the defensive tackle from Florida State. Ray Davis, for the story alone, is absolutely an everyone's guy, a my guy, a Harbaugh guy, a Chargers guy. You name it, Ray Davis from Kentucky is awesome. You mentioned Javon Bullard. I have not watched him, but he's the safety from Georgia. And then, of course, Junior Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, who I think is not just a Harbaugh guy, but a Minter exclusive phenom kind of guy. Like, Colson is great.
Yeah, Javon Bullard, I think I watched him the other day. Reminded me kind of a discount version of Jalen Petrie, who we really liked a couple of years ago from Baylor, who's had a good career so far in Houston. There's a bit of me that thinks Bullard might be best to play the slot given his size, but just love his ability to come down and run defense. A lot of times when you'll watch a guy who's playing like deep safety kind of chill on rundowns where they're not going to come down because they know that their teammates are going to make the tackle, but Bullard always puts his nose in there. He's always a guy who would jump on the pile. He'll just like, he wants to make sure that his presence is felt. And I just really like his mentality. Obviously this is a Georgia guy. I think he was a 4-star prospect. So it doesn't necessarily fit like the underdog type, but he's a smaller player. He's underrated on the Georgia defense. Like when you talk about Georgia, you very rarely hear about Javon Bullard. So I think there is some of that's out there, but I love his mentality to come up, play run support, hit tight ends over the middle. He's a guy who, even despite his size, he's a hitter. And I think the Chargers prefer those kind of guys.
Awesome. Well, that was a lot of fun. I didn't think we'd go for a lot of day two, day three guys, but that was fun to discuss some of these guys. And hopefully the chat and you guys listening and watching or whatever heard some new names. I've seen so many mock draft 2.0 and 3.0s, and it's just kind of the same guys. So
yeah.
I'm glad we got to put out some new names out there that we're enjoying watching.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that as well. I mean, like sometimes I get to, you know, pick 110 and I'm like, Hunter Norzad every single time. But, you got to talk about different players, different scenarios, because the draft is unpredictable. And I think especially this year, as the first draft of Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh, like I think we're going to be in for a treat. A lot of surprises.
Oh, yeah. A lot of surprises. Hopefully we just get like one guy we talked about.
That's always fun, man. It is always fun whenever you get the guys that we talked about. Like I love Joshua Palmer coming out. I thought it made a ton of sense. And when they took him, I was like, yes, let's go. A little early, but you know, it is what it is.
That's fine. It worked out. Real quick from LA Chargers fan. Have you watched Carlton Johnson, this corner from Fresno State? He's a bit undersized, but ran a 4.33. Not many great prospect options as a Fresno State fan. Did you watch him live by any chance, Steven?
I have seen him play football live. He had an interception in the game that I watched and almost took it back for a touchdown. So he is very fast. That 4.33 does show up on tape. People here in the Fresno State community love him as an individual. They say nothing but good things about him. I have not watched the tape. I'm pretty sure the Chargers had representation at the Fresno State Pro Day.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I want to say that it is true because of him. So there's at least some interest there. Fresno State low-key has like a great cornerback tradition. I mean, Deron Bland is one of the best cornerbacks in the league right now, comes from Fresno State. So Carlton Johnson has some fans around the league. I would not be opposed to it as a day three flyer, but I have not watched his tape at all.
Nice. Sounds good. Speaking of day three flyers, sort of. Matthew Hernandez asked, do you think we should give Spiller a chance? The answer is yes, but it does not preclude you from taking other running backs.
They should have given him more of a chance last year once the season went down the drain, but I don't think we know enough about him. And I think we've seen some good moments here and there, but we're also talking about a guy who's averaged like 3 yards a carry in his regular season game. So I just don't think that the Chargers are going to give him much. Maybe they keep him on the practice squad. But I think they're going to want to overhaul the running back room. They're visiting with J.K. Dobbins today. Who knows if that deal gets done? Based off of the previous track record of visits, I think it could get done. So I think the running back room is basically just going to be 3 new guys. And maybe you keep Spiller or Dotson on the practice squad.
Yeah. Such a bummer. I get why some guys didn't work out. It's a bummer that Spiller didn't, for whatever reason. Sometimes just the regime changes and offensive coordinator changes. I really thought he had it, not maybe necessarily be an RB1, but to certainly be better. And it's been.
Yeah. I thought when they changed to Kellen Moore that Isaiah Spiller would be given more of a chance. I really did. And Joshua Kelly had some good moments, played well. He also deserved more touches. But I just kind of figured that the Joe Lombardi scheme didn't really fit Isaiah Spiller. The Kellen Moore scheme would fit him more. So I just, maybe there's some behind the scenes stuff that we don't know about, obviously outside of lack of opportunity. But I just think that I think Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman want an entirely new running back room.
Yeah, I would agree.
So to clarify, Isaiah Spiller is currently on the roster. I just don't think he has a great chance of being on the final roster.
Yeah, we'll see if they keep three or four, and then also might include a fullback. If they do keep, you know, three, maybe he's the third, but he's at best third right now if they sign Dobbins. And then from there, you know, we'll see about a running back.
Yeah. All right. Tyler, any final thoughts before we head out?
No, it's exciting. And honestly, the names you guys are throwing out in the chat are awesome. I see some names that I haven't watched yet. I got to get to them. I love it. It's not the usual, like, hey, have you watched the top 10 prospect in this class? It's like, hey, this random guy, you got to watch him. I love that. Keep throwing those in the chat, in the comment section. That's awesome. That helps me find other guys to watch.
Yeah, all you guys that are listening to this or watching this on replay, definitely let us know in the comments and on Twitter, wherever. If you have a guy that you definitely think is a Harbaugh guy that think deserves some more love, certainly let us know. But I think a lot of the draft becomes so day one centric, especially the Chargers, because it's like, it's a great receiver class. It's a great offensive tackle class, fits the need, potential trade down. Like, there's so much focus on day one, but the best teams are built through day two. And you've got to be able to supplement your day one hits with some really quality football players on day two. That's how you're able to, somebody said watch Marvin Harrison. That's funny. Really nice. But day two is so important. Day three, if you can hit a couple players on day three, it does so much help for you. And the Chargers are potentially in line for four compensatory picks for 2025. So day three next year is gonna be a lot of fun.
That makes me so happy that I get to like watch day three and there's gonna be like seven players gonna be added back there. Yeah. That's so nice.
Yeah, love to see it. So we got to get the Christian Fulton signing became official today. We have not seen numbers yet, although Daniel Popper projected, at least on his Twitter, that it might be vet minimum. So if that is the case, all of the Chargers compensatory picks that they're currently projected to gain would stay the same. And so I think Joe Ortiz is going to be very, very happy about having four compensatory picks this year.
It's awesome. And if you get a fourth round pick next year and a compensatory pick, you can trade for Keenan Allen back. If it doesn't work out.
Nice. Yeah. You can just bring him back. Yeah. All right. There we go. That's going to do it for us today, guys. Appreciate you. Like Tyler mentioned earlier, there was a lot of positive feedback, positive energy on our last Chargers episode. We're very grateful for that. The comments were awesome to see. The community that we've been able to see built over the last few years doing the show has been fantastic. It's been one of my favorite things about doing the show and interacting with people. So sincerely appreciate that. Hopefully you guys are watching baseball, watching March Madness, whatever you're doing this weekend. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys on Monday. This is the Go Tigers Charge podcast. As always, Bolt up.